Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entering the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
The word of the Lord. What a great little passage. Yeah. It's interesting what's about to happen. We'll get there tomorrow. But we see... I would just say a sign of the kingdom advancing, right? So mm-hmm. Jesus has ascended. His disciples are still here. You know, I can almost imagine this. You know, what if you could say, I mean, you know, sometimes people in Atlanta, I'll come across a guy that, you know, is asking for a handout or something. And I'll say, like, you know, I don't have any money to give you, but I'll buy you a sandwich mm-hmm. or something.
Right.
And usually they say no.
No.
Yeah. And so I can almost like, I'm imagining in that moment, they say, "Look, we don't have any money to give you." And I can almost see the lame beggar, you know, kind of saying, "Okay, well, let me ask the next guy."
Yeah. And he's like peddling off of their religious guilt too, a little bit.
Right. You know, yeah. He's right there. He's a perfect place to be. You call yourself a good Jew. You should give to the poor.
Right.
But then they say, "Hey, we got something better. We got something even better for you. Get up and walk," and he mm-hmm. does.
Right.
And I mean, man, that must have just been,
yeah,
what a moment.
I mean, and think about it. Like, not only did he receive the ability to walk, but now he has a means by which he can go and earn money himself. I mean, right. Like he was given so much more than the alms that he hoped for or requested of the people daily.
Why can't you and I, Blake, like, why when you are walking to the church and we see somebody that has an ailment, why can't we just say, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed"? Like, what, yeah. Why don't we do that more often?
Well, first of all, I've never tried it. So maybe we can, Jason.
Maybe you should try. Maybe you should try.
And I just haven't tried it. but no, I, you know, the apostles were given special, like almost a special dispensation of spiritual ability from Christ to do and continue the works that he was doing in a very tangible and real way. And you see that play out in the New Testament until the ceasing of the apostles. And,
right,
in other words, until those men died. Now, we still believe that God can and does miraculously work in the world to bring healing. You know, I mean, every body who is sick, who is healed, we would say God did that, right? We would say that the Lord allowed this to happen. He's created your body in such a way, and he even is intricately involved with the healing process of your body in order to be healed. And so it's right for us to pray for healing because God is a healer, and he can heal. It doesn't mean he always heals. But he can heal. But we would say that this kind of ministry where there's the ability for someone to speak a word over you, to speak the name of Christ over you and have all of your ailments be healed, it kind of was an apostolic thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that this is here's kind of been my experience. And because I've thought a lot about this, and I would affirm exactly what you said. I've never seen anything. I've talked to people that have even like had, you know, gone to experiences like this, and felt that there was a little bit of a horse and pony show, you know, going on. And so I would be skeptical of anybody that like establishes a big event where they're going to be paid a lot of money to do this, right?
Well, even Benny Hinn recently, right, has...
He's repenting of this.
He's repenting of the dog and pony show.
Right. And so I would just encourage my brothers and sisters in that way. Now, with that being said, I fully believe, obviously, in the power of God to heal, and not just in a like, let's pray for them, God sends a good doctor, and God, but I'm talking about even supernatural healing of even big things. I think we should pray for that. And we certainly do. I mean, we, you know, one of the things we've practiced semi-regularly here is just praying for our members, anointing them with oil as we're instructed in James. But yes, I do think that there is, and typically I think here's the pattern, a different kind of outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the establishment of the church. So in the apostolic era, I think there was a different kind of outpouring of the Holy Spirit that manifested the work of the Spirit in this kind of way, in a way that the Holy Spirit typically doesn't manifest himself today. Yeah. Now, I will say this. I think in parts of the world where the church is really being established for the very first time, it's certainly not uncommon to see more miraculous kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And then what I've seen is actually as the church is established in that area, those miracles kind of cool off. And I don't know why that's the pattern, but it's just, you know, that seems to be, and this is just observation. I'm not basing this on anything I've read in scripture or whatever, but it kind of mimics what we see here. Mm-hmm. God is establishing his church. And there's this very special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I even was having a conversation with Josh Youssef about the Middle East and in areas where people really had no access to the gospel. Everybody was a Muslim. There was a lot of visions of Jesus, like at night. People would have these kind of nighttime, very special visions of Christ that would put them on a path toward Christianity. But what Josh was actually telling me is now as the church in some of those areas is being established, those visions are less common, but they're not as well needed, right? Because now you have actual witnesses that are giving testimony to Christ. So
that's good. Yeah.
So I think this is just, I think we read the book of Acts, not as if, not in any sort of fantasy way. I think this things actually happen. But also not in the same way we would say, like, this should be happening as it is happening here right now. It could, but this is where God is establishing the church, is telling that story. Yeah,
that's right. And it's interesting, like, even the very author of this is a doctor, right?
So
Dr. Luke is writing this, a man who no doubt spent his vocational time in the things of the natural world, in the body and thinking through this, and he's recording, wow, this miraculous event happened. And there's also something important about how Luke records this. And maybe we should just end right here. It doesn't end with the man leaping and bounding.
Right.
It ends with people seeing that and praising God.
Yes.
Not the apostles, right?
Right.
There's not an apostolic worship here. Rather, the witnesses here knew that something like this could only happen when God spoke and when God moved and intervened in this broken and fallen world. And the result was the praise of God.
And actually, what happens to Peter and John is kind of the opposite, as we're going to see tomorrow. So for Blake Rogers, I'm Jason Dees. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Our Daily Rhythm. I'm Jason Dees, one of the pastors of Christ Covenant, and Our Daily Rhythm is a ministry of our church designed to help you more faithfully and effectively meditate on God's Word. If you ever have a question for us about one of our Bible readings or one of your own Bible readings, please don't hesitate to text us at 404-465-1737. Again, that's 404-465-1737, or email me directly at jason@christcovenant.com. We'll meet you again tomorrow for Our Daily Rhythm.